Okay, now it is. All right. Well, thank you, Lord, for He's God. Thank you, Andrew. So let's just go ahead and recite Psalms 91 in the first person. I'm going to do it, and you can just, I'll go slow, and you can go behind me, whatever. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'll say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with His pinions, and under His wings will I take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. I shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. For You, O Lord, are my refuge. I have made the Most High my habitation, and there shall no evil befall me. Neither shall any plague come near my tent. For He will give His angels charge over me, to keep me in all Your ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Then I shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall I trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call on me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise be to God forevermore. I love that. We get to recite it, and we also get to believe it, don't we? Amen. Okay. Any prayer requests? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
My back is really hurting today. I don't know what, I didn't do anything. I wasn't working or anything, but it's pretty bad. It hurts. I've tried to work it out the kinks, but it's not doing it. So would you mind praying for me?
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, I come against this pain in Leon's back. I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave his back right now in Jesus' name. And I command every joint, every bone, every tissue in his back be healed in the name of Jesus. All of those little things in there be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Leon's back has been healed. There is no pain, and we praise you for it, Father. We just praise your holy name that the pain is gone and he's healed. Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father.
I'm believing it, brother.
Amen, brother.
I'm believing it.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
I was just thinking about Leon's back, and I was imagining the angels rubbing his back and rubbing that kink out.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. Praise God. He's healed. In the name of Jesus.
I didn't. Yeah, you didn't.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony, praise report? Yeah, Marilyn.
I think it was last Tuesday we prayed for a guy that I don't really know this guy, but I know his brother and sister pretty well. I work with him at the food bank, and his name is Jason, and he had been in ICU, and he had coded or flatlined, or in layman's terms, he had stopped breathing and stopped, his heart had stopped. And anyway, they worked on him for like an hour and a half, and they were able to bring him back. And I had prayed that, because he's not saved, that the Lord would either give him a vision of heaven or a vision of hell. And anyway, I've since found out that it actually didn't, because I was praying after the fact, although I believe God doesn't dwell in time. But a couple of days later, they went in and did surgery on his throat. And that's when the Lord gave him the vision of hell and demons. And he knew that when he got to where he could talk, he had a trach in. So he couldn't talk for several days. But his brother was telling me yesterday that he just cried for 3 days. Because he kept seeing and these demons that were trying to carry him off to hell. And so, Father, I thank you for answering our prayer for Jason. And Father, I do pray that all this suffering is not for naught. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to draw Jason to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that he will be comforted in the knowledge of salvation and what the fullness of salvation is. Father, I know that he is in a lot of bondage to unforgiveness. And we bind up that spirit of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness and pride in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I believe you've done a good work or you're doing a good work in Jason's heart, and that you're going to be faithful to complete it, because that's what we've prayed. And Father, not only that, but that Jason is going to have an incredible testimony of the things that you've shown him through this trial. Lord, that he's going to be full of the light of the love of Jesus. He's going to be so happy and so free when he gets free of this bondage to self and these demons, and comes into experience, Father, your love and your grace and your forgiveness, and that you're going to use him to bring his whole family in, because they all need to get saved. But so, Lord, I thank you and praise you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, what a wonderful opportunity for his family, for this man to be saved. Come out of this with a smile on his face and Jesus right beside him or inside him. Lord, we thank you for doing that for Jason. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. That's an awesome testimony. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Lena. No, Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I could use prayer. I have like lion symptoms coming at me, and congestion and shortness of breath, and also I can sure use some love and encouragement. I've been really battling discouragement a lot lately. So if you could just pray for me, I'd really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Barbara.
Yes.
I just love you.
Lord
of God, I just love you so much.
Thank you, Brother Michael.
We're gonna lay that love all over you, girl. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for blanketing her with your love, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And if she does not have those symptoms, you go from her right now in the name of Jesus. I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you leave her right now.
Yes.
And all the symptoms and all the things that are trying to come on her, go in the name of Jesus. Father, yes. We thank you that tonight she's going to have such a wonderful time with you and sleep. And Father, we just praise you for it. When she wakes up in the morning, joy is going to be all over her. Yes. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, everybody here that loves Barbara, raise your right hand. Look at that. Girl, I'm telling you the truth. Everybody in here loves you. Glory to God. Now, raise your left hand if you love us. Okay, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Barbara, you're healed, delivered, and set free, and you got joy all in your heart, girl.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I love you all, and God bless you all.
Okay. Go ahead, Malcolm.
No, I just raised my hand. That's the only way I could do it. You hear me?
Well, I was talking, but I was muted too. But yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to say something or just raising your hand. So I just.
I love you too, Barbara.
There you go. Thank you.
There we go. Amen. All right. Anyone else? How about a testimony? I want to pray for one of our guys. He saw a terrible thing yesterday. There was a wreck in front of the place where he was, and it was a big truck ran into a pickup, T-boned him, and pinned the guy in the truck, and he sat there and burned up right there in front of everybody. They couldn't get the door open. They tried to get the door open. This was a great big guy, weighed about 350 pounds, and that's devastating to watch, something like that. They couldn't help the guy because they couldn't get the door open, and the fuel was just starting to burn and smoking and everything. And then it just got away from him. He said it didn't take long, you know, within. Oh, just a few short minutes, it was over. But, Lord, I just lift up Brandy to you, and I thank you, Father, that cleanse his mind of that. And Lord, I praise you for just showing him how vulnerable people are. And, Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that it just gives us a perspective of the lost out there or people out there that don't believe in your promises, Father. But I thank you for cleansing his mind of this tragedy. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to make a meeker and humbler man out of it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for helping Brandy out, cleansing his mind. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? I think Sue's fixing to say so. I'll get right back to you, Missy.
I just feel like praying for the other people that saw that too, Lord. I just lift up ones that were there with Brandy that were trying to get this man out. I just pray that you would help them too, Lord. If they don't know you, I pray that they would call upon you. If they do know you, I pray you would give them your grace and mercy, that they would also have that vision wiped out of their minds, Lord. And I pray for the people that were related to this one that burned to death, Lord. Give them your comfort. Just help them be there. And I pray that this man cried out to you before he died. I pray that he cried out to you and that his family would cry out to you too, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank
you, Lord. Okay. All right, Missy, go ahead.
Press it.
I had an interesting encounter with a neighbor. I was taking my daily walk yesterday, and one of the ladies that lives over on a street close by, her name is Adrian, and she walks her dog. Her dog's name is Daisy. Anyway, she said about the other, hold on a sec. I'm sorry. I gotta go get something.
What happened? She had a story and she forgot it. Oh my goodness. No.
The alarm went off. It must have been for the oven.
Cookies in the oven.
She made us some more cookies.
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
Chasing down stories.
Okay. Anybody else while she's doing that? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, we at work, they might be closing down my work or sending the students home. We still have to go to work as far as I know. But I took the chance to witness to some of the people at my workplace, two directors and two fellow workers. And I told them to check out on YouTube. What's the title of the book?
God's Vaccine? Or
no, not
real,
God's Vaccine.
Real Good News.
The Real Good News, Chapter 6. Because some of these people might not be saved. And it actually goes into that pretty well there with the law and the covenant we have now. So they'll get that, and they'll get, of course, healing instruction. Very good. He goes into great detail about it. I prayed about it, and actually, when I told to the young ladies there, one of them actually mentioned, "That's true, Andrew. I've never really did see you sick." And it's been years since I can remember taking a sick day, and so I just pray that the Lord use this somehow, because there's no antidote anyway. So I told them to try faith and to listen to this YouTube taping on YouTube. That's it.
Okay. Okay, Missy, you got everything, all your ducks in a row.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot I had a timer set. I had to take my beanie out of the pans in 10 minutes. Otherwise, they wouldn't come out. Anyway, I'm sorry. Anyway, so I was, she said about that the other day, her dog and her were attacked by one or two pit bulls down the street from us. And I knew right away where she was talking about, because I've seen them in the yard, in the fenced area. But anyway, her dog had some stitches. It looked like it was just puncture wounds, and she got bit, but she didn't have any stitches or anything. But so we were talking, and she said something about, she says, if it would have been your dog, she said, made a comment like it would have had it for lunch or whatever. And I said, no, I said, I pray over my dog and myself. It wouldn't, we'd have been fine, you know. And and she mentioned about, she said something about the coronavirus then or whatever. And she said, well, I'm sure there's a lot of religious people that think, you know, that they wouldn't have died from this coronavirus, but they did. And I said, well, if they did, it's because they didn't understand the promises of God and or they were in fear, you know. And the Lord just gave me just the right words to say to her. I didn't say a whole lot. I just want to pray for her. And the Lord showed me that I made up like a flyer. I'm going to fold it into thirds, but the Lord showed me he wanted me to put one in every door in the neighborhoods where I walk and everything, and maybe beyond, I don't know. But one's going to go in her door. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for Adrienne, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would grant her repentance unto salvation, and that that this flower that I put in the doors would be something that you would use to bring that about. If not other things that you bring across her path, or people that would speak to her, or whatever. But Lord, I just cast down a spirit of skepticism and unbelief in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to just show her that you are her only guarantee of surviving this, Lord, and that she would understand, Lord, the great sacrifice that you gave for her sins, and that she's not under the curse, that she'll just believe, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for salvation for her husband too, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that they weren't hurt severely, Lord, worse than what it was, Lord, and help her to realize that it could have been worse, and to know, Lord, that somebody was watching over her and her dog, and it was you, Lord. And Lord, I just I thank you, Lord, for this encounter with her, and I ask you for more opportunities to speak to her, Lord, and just open her eyes and her ears, and for her curiosity in her, Lord, that maybe she might want to ask me some questions, you know, because of our conversation yesterday, Lord. And I just I ask you to anoint these these flyers that I put out, Lord, and that you would use them mightily in every one of your elect's heart, Lord, that it's given to, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to help me get my printer set up right. It was giving me fits, Lord, you know, because I believe part of it was because I needed some more ink, and it wasn't lining things up right and all. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that it's going to all print out well. And Lord, help me to get these out as quickly as possible, Lord. And I thank you for the divine appointments of people that I would get to talk to along the way, Lord. And you would just give me your words, Lord, and touch hearts and open eyes and ears, and break up the hard hearts, Lord, that are out there, Lord. Those that you're alive, Lord, soften their hearts, Lord, to receive the truth, Lord, of how great a salvation they have in believing and repenting, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anoint those flowers, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Hey, Don. Don't do that. You blinded me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very clearly.
Okay, good deal. How you doing?
Hey, fine.
Okay. We're taking prayer requests and testimonies and praise reports. All right, anybody else? Got a prayer request or praise report or testimony? I think Sue's fixing to say something.
I want to give a praise report about my daughter. The other night, I brought her forth about praying for her situation. Lord took care of that situation. She didn't get fined over what she had to deal with. And my grandson, Willie, that's his mom. I was praying that he would help her and the my other grandson. And, but as far as, now she has till September with paying the taxes. Otherwise, she'll lose her house. And so the kind of job that she's got fibromyalgia, and which is a lot of painful in her joint. It's not like arthritis, but it's in the muscles and stuff. And she has a lot of pain. And the kind of job that she has to be at home, because she has to take care of her husband has a heart condition. He's in a wheelchair. I just ask you, Lord, the job that she does, it has to do with scrap metal. And that's what the problem has been, that she's dealing with scrap metal and trying to get rid of it after taking the good metals out of the pieces. Anyway, I just lift up her to you, Lord, and I just pray that there's some other kind of job that she could have that would help her finances even pay better than what she's doing. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have made it possible for her husband to give his disability to pay the bills. But I know that taxes are high for houses, and so, like, I pray you, Father, would make a way for her to get a different job that she can have inside the house, and deliver her from this pain from the fibromyalgia, and that she would also be able to take care of the taxes and not lose the house, unless you want her to lose it. I don't know, but I pray for your will to be done in this whole situation, in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Sue, I forgot, are they both believers or not?
Yes. Yes, she's been spirit-filled before. Yeah.
What about him?
Willie, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Has he read the Real Good News?
I don't remember if I think I had one there. I left one there, but I'm not sure, but I'm going to send him some books. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Lord, we just ask that when he gets the Real Good News, that he'd get in it and you would anoint every page of it, Lord, and that it would become a healing factor for him. And he would be able to come up out of that chair of affliction, I guess, and be the man of God that you want him to be, Father. And I thank you for doing that. What's his name, Sue?
Oh, Bernie. No, he says he's a believer. I thought you were talking about Willie. Willie is a believer.
I don't know Willie from Bernie. Who is Willie?
My grandson.
Okay, and who is Bernie?
Bernie is her husband.
Okay, he's the one I'm talking about then.
Yeah, I wasn't sure why you're, yeah. When you mentioned that, he's not spirit-filled. He said he was a believer, but he's not been, as far as I know, he's not.
Okay, all right. Well, we can pray for him.
Man.
Lord, okay. We lift up, which one is he, Willie or Bernie?
Bernie,
okay. All right. We lift up Bernie to you, Father. We ask that you grant him repentance.
Yes.
And Father, we ask and we pray that you do a work in Bernie right now, that you would turn this around for him. And that when Sue suggests that he pick up a Real Good News, if he wants to be healed, if he wants to do what you want him to do, Lord, and I ask that you place it in his heart to want to be able to provide for his family.
Mm-hmm.
The only way he's going to be able to do it, Lord, is through you.
Amen.
And I thank you, Lord, for opening up his spiritual eyes and his spiritual ears right now,
mm-hmm.
in the name of Jesus, for him to want to be able to get up and go to work and to run after you, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the work you're going to do in Bernie from this point on, Lord. And we're looking for the good testimony that he's going to be a glorious testimony, that he's brought his whole family back into the right relationship. And Father, we praise you and thank you for what you're going to do in Bernie. In Jesus, amen. Well, what you already did for him 2,000 years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we're going to look for the great testimony.
We bind up all the evil spirits that have used him in the past and come against him and himself and even Tanya. We break the power of Satan over him and all those evil spirits. They have to be silent darkness. They have to leave him alone in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Joe.
What's wrong?
Joe Britz. All right, anyone else? Hey, Don, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes.
Go ahead, brother.
Yes, I could. We've got twin daughters that are over in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and I see where Kentucky is shutting down in ways. No more schools, so I see on the internet. Now, we haven't had a relationship with them for quite a few years. And I think the Lord is telling us that because of what's happening here, a couple things it looks like is going to be happening that's going to be changing all that. So we're excited about that. One thing's we know the Lord has shown us that we'll be able to contact them when something happens. So up till then, we always get a no. So we're excited about that because for one thing, I'd like to see them, talk to them, and have an adult-type conversation. A conversation where we can cut through some things that I'm sure need to be cut through and find out some things maybe on both sides of us, you know. And I imagine they're getting pretty, a lot of pressure's got to be there because everybody, all four couples, both couples work. So the kids gonna have to be home at times by themselves. Now, they got, one of them has a couple children. I think that one at least that's out of school. And the other one doesn't. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I keep a little bit, I go on Facebook. They're going to a Baptist church in Hopkinsville. It doesn't go by that name. It's called Work. It's got the word work in it. And in small print says we're a Baptist church. So I've gone on their site and listened to their praise worship service. I see, I did it yesterday and I saw the oldest twin as one of the worship leaders. Her and another girl doing a great job. You know, good song. So something's happening there that looks exciting. So we'll see what's going to be happening in the near future. It's going to be exciting. So I just lift them up. We know that Kentucky's under lockdown on schools. Is that the right word? Anyway, there's no schools. Mm-hmm. So we pray, Lord, that you give the parents there wisdom, our twin daughters and their husbands wisdom and the situation they're in now. May they realize that you are in control, Lord. And He has given the faith to believe that they can work things out and not get too stressed, realizing that they must pray. They must seek your face. May they get some, may there be a bond there. It sounds like there's quite a bond going on there in that church that I don't see in too many churches today. So we pray, Lord, that you just work through that, those people there in that church, and may they be able to work together in the situations that are there now. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray and believe that they're being helped through our prayers. And Father, we want to see them soon. We pray, Lord, do you just use these, what's happening right now? And with the RV coming, apparently very soon. Certainly then we'll know, we'll be able to see them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I lift up Don and his children to you. I ask, Father, that you erase all any animosity or any kind of things that have come between them in the past, Lord, that they see the seriousness of what's going on in the world, and that they'd want a right relationship with their parents and Don and Marlene with them. And Father, we thank you for wisdom and the words to say and the right way to pray, Father. I ask that you open up his children's spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to hear you, Lord, and to be guided by your Holy Spirit. And the same thing for Don and Marlene. I thank you, Lord, that we're looking forward to a reunion of parents and children, but now are adults. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that past things are gone out of their mind, that their love for their parents and Don's love for his children and Marlene's love for the children supersedes any kind of things that happened in the past. And Father, we just praise you for this reunion that's going to happen real soon. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you, Lord, you've made him a good worship leader. And we thank you for that. Boy, they could have some really good discussions. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Everybody Amen. In here believe it. Raise your hand, because I believe he's going to have a reunion soon, very soon. Thank you, Father. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe, I see you way up there. Go ahead, brother.
Good morning, everybody. I got two praise reports on Michael. Pray for us on Wednesday for my work situation, my overtime and attitude. Work, I got rested, and the people's attitude did change. It was good to see people doing well, started doing my own jobs and not leave it for anybody else. And then the second praise report is for, I think, Michael Prevost, and 1st of January, after our serious hot summer, we asked up for prayer for cooler weather from beginning of January until now. It's now in fall. We still got rain regularly. It's got good weather. It's not hot. It's very, very good weather. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Hey, Joe, have you heard of any coronavirus down there?
Yeah. It was quiet here until last week. I think it was Wednesday. We heard about the first one. And then by Saturday or Sunday, there's now 13 already. People getting wake up to how serious it is.
Okay. All right. Well, it's getting quite serious here. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, my daughter, she was going to go overseas this year, or not overseas, study abroad, and that all got canceled this week. So that plan's off, and they also canceled all our classes now, and it's all going to be done online. It's going to be done by month basis. So everybody's being encouraged to leave the campus, and they want everybody gone by Friday.
Well, that's happening here too. I think UT is doing the same thing. So, go ahead, Sue.
I was just going to share a verse that the Lord gave to me the other day. I'm just sensing that there's many people that were kind of like me, kind of in turmoil and just seeking the Lord and what He would say to us. And the other day when I was having a really down day, I asked the Lord for a verse by random. And He gave me Psalm 105, verse 4, and it is, "Seek ye the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore." And I thought that was just the most awesome thing that I needed. I needed that word, and my fingers were on the words, "His face forevermore." And His presence is the most precious thing we have. To just sit there in His presence and let Him talk to us, and we can go through whatever we're going through in our mind, and He will give us peace. Amen. In all of that. And I just wanted to share that. Father, I just thank You for Your faithfulness to Your people, mm-hmm. that You know the hearts of each one, and You're there to meet that need. And You want us to be in rest. You want us to be in peace. And those are gifts from You. I thank You, Father, and I give You thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Good word, yeah. Thank You, Father. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Sorry, anybody doesn't want prayer? Can I ask just, I don't usually ask this, but can I ask one of our ladies to sing us a song, please? Or Debbie, or Danny, or Missy, or Sue?
What was your question again?
He wants to hear a song from one of the girls, the golden girls.
Yeah. Okay, I thought about that.
Unless you want to sing, Missy.
Let me think here.
A particular song?
Missy's got her mouth full, Joe. She can't. She can't sing nothing.
Oh, okay. Debbie can sing one.
Debbie can sing one.
Once in a while.
Is it a certain song?
No, specific. Oh. No.
Well, I have a scripture song to what Daniel was just saying, sharing. If it all comes out right. but it's at Psalms. It might have a couple of verses from somewhere else nearby that area in the Bible, but oh yeah, Psalm 5. Okay. I'll try it. Okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holiness. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the Lord continually. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Make known his deeds among the peoples. So that just came to me right away after Gaynold was sharing the verse.
Thank you. That was nice.
Yeah, that was good, Debbie. Sue, you got one too? You don't have a song? Boy, that's a first. You always got a song, girl.
Well, last time on Tuesday, I had a song, but we were closing out. So I can do that one if you want me to.
That'd be great.
It relates to the scripture we went over. Come unto me, says the Lord, who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Give you rest. Come unto me, says the Lord, who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I can carry it, can't you see? For my yoke is easy, it was made for me. Don't trouble yourself, my child, can't you see? It was made for me. 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 Come unto me, says the Lord, who art weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Amen. There's another verse, but I don't remember it all. So.
Okay. That's fine. That was good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Missy, you're up.
Anybody have a request that they know that I sing? Any song they need?
Compel.
What the world's that? Compel?
Yeah, that's one, but let's see. Let me think of another one.
Okay. I have fun. I know Debbie likes this. You are still my first love, and all I am is yours. You are still my anchor, forever I'm secure. You are still my first love. You're my guiding light. You're with me in the fire, and you lead me through the night. You have my heart. You've won my heart. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice. You are still my first love, and all I'm longing for. You'll always be my fortress, my shelter in the storm. You have my heart. You've won my heart. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice. How I love you. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. I adore you, how I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Oh, my soul, rejoice.
Praise you, Jesus.
Okay, Joe, how's that, buddy?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
God's going to get my praise. Amen. I'd sing, but I'd run everybody out of here.
Okay, hey, Michael, you want me to sing one?
Joe said no.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm just kidding. You go ahead.
All right. This is by Merciful Savior. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
That was good, Leon. Thank you.
That was real good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all did real good.
You going to say more, Barbara?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Fedora had his hand up.
Who? Oh, okay. Theodore.
I had a prayer request that I'd like Michael to pray for, please.
Okay.
My sister and her fiance, he's in Ukraine, and the paperwork's already been delayed a couple times, and we're really praying to get him over here as soon as possible and get the wedding already, you know. Now with this proclamation that went out that Europe's going to be banned to travel here, you know, it just hit her like a, you know, just a heavy weight, you know, and just if we could pray for her, my sister's encouragement and his encouragement, and then the government, they could get him over here faster. Just hard on them, you know.
Okay. What's her name?
Her name is Maria.
Okay.
His name is Vasily.
It's what?
His name is Vasily. Or Vasily.
Okay. All right. I think, okay. Let's see. Lord, we know that you're shutting doors all over the world, and I know it's for a reason. And we ask and we pray that you put Maria's mind at ease, that things are going to be fine. All she needs to do is believe you, Lord. If there's a way to get this young man over here, Lord, we just ask that you do it. If not, we just ask that you put both of them in rest, that you're the one orchestrating things, that the things will be fulfilled that you've told them in the time that you've allowed.
Amen.
Lord, we just thank you that Maria and this other young man, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the name, so we'll just lift them both up to you, Lord, and we thank you that they're able to communicate to one another and to understand that this is God doing this thing, this worldwide thing, because he's told us that's what it is. Not only that, that he's using it to cleanse governments and to cleanse people's lives of the things that has hindered their walk with you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them understanding in that regard. And I thank you for it, Father. Put peace in their hearts, not to get anxious. Be anxious for nothing, you said. And we thank you for it, Father. And to lay your burdens on him. We talked about that the last time. And Lord, we thank you that Maria and this young man are going to understand that it's all going to happen. It's just going to take a little bit of time for you to finish whatever it is you've got to do. And Lord, we thank you for your glory upon both of them, with patience and enduring faith to believe all this will take place in time. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask, and if you can get this young man over here, I don't know how, because I think Trump has shut down all flights from Europe. But Lord, give them the faith to believe in your rest, Lord, in your promises. It's going to happen. They just have to hold on, enduring their faith to the end. It's a trial of their faith. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, for lifting both of them up in your arms and loving on them during this time of a little bit of testing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in both of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray?
Amen.
Okay, Leon, go ahead, brother.
The band starts on Friday at midnight, so he's got another day to get on an airplane that's coming back, because they're all going to try and come back to the United States, because this is where their main office is. So he's got one more day to get on an airplane.
I thought
tell him that too, Theodore.
Okay. The Lord, just like I said, if there's an opening window, let him get through that window and get over here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. He's protected too. He doesn't have any kind of problems with coronavirus in Jesus' name. And Maria too, in Jesus' name. All of the Galchenkos, Lord, we thank you for your protection upon all of them in Jesus' name. They're great people of God, and we thank you for them, Father. Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
That travel ban didn't cover all of Europe. It covered only the ones in the European Union that I think were allowing immigrants in their countries. Like, it didn't cover the United Kingdom and a few others, Slovenia, some other things like that. Countries that had closed borders.
Is it Ukraine?
If they have closed borders, they'll be good. He's only using it for people that don't have closed borders.
Okay. Europe. All right. Well, we pray and we believe. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. God's Vaccine, Chapter 3. We finally got to another chapter. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and say a little prayer that David's got there. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for working in our hearts the life of your Son. We thank you for all your vast provision. That's even over and above all we could ask or think. We thank you for your provision for the whole man, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that you would reveal this to all of your elect children. Reveal to them, Lord, that we do have the provision of your holy manna. We thank you, Father, that we can trust in you. You are our vaccination in times when man-made and devil-made diseases are flying rampant everywhere. You're our Savior. You're our provider. You created our Passover lamb. You gave us the victory through him. And we accept that gift of God. Lord, we thank you that there shall no plague to be upon you to destroy you, as your word in Exodus 12 tells us. We praise you for that and for your promises. I'll put none of the diseases upon thee that I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. In Exodus 15, we thank you for that. We thank you for your full provision, Lord. We know that we have a better covenant based on better promises, while so many of your people don't know that we have a better covenant. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of God covering the earth as the waters of the sea. Thank you, Lord, that your people in these days will come to know you fully. Hallelujah. Amen. Then David says, in our last chapter, we discovered those who aren't going to be prepared for the plagues that are coming upon this world. And we also found out that God in this is the one sending those plagues. We learned that he will use the plagues to take out the wicked. In the text that we studied, we saw that he was going to use those plagues to take out the wicked among his people also. Now, I'd like for us to encourage ourselves a little, because the Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And I thought Psalm 91 would be a perfect place to start. since it does mention judgments such as pestilences and plagues, and how the Lord has delivered us from all of that if we'll just believe it. It's the Word of God. The Psalm 91 Passover. Anybody got anything they'd like to say before I keep going here? Okay. Psalm 91:9. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And of course, that's the first thing people want to know. David, where is this secret place of the Most High? Well, he just told you in the text. It says, in the secret place of the Most High. He is the secret place. As Moses said in Psalms 90 and verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The Lord Christ himself is the secret place where we abide. It's completely unknown to the world and sadly unknown even to most of God's people. But if we understand what abiding in Christ is, we'll understand the secret place. We're told in 1 John 2 and 5, but whoso keeps his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Jesus told the disciples in John 14 and 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. That's the life of a Christian. And we don't have any right to describe it otherwise. The one who believes on him is the one, as he said, does the works that I do. Because James 2 and 17 says, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. When we have faith, the works that are manifested through us are not our works, they're God's works. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. All right, has anybody got any questions or comments on that last paragraph? Faith without works is dead. That's pretty plain. When you believe in God's word empowers you, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, who gets the power of God? It's only the one that believes. If a person doesn't have power, then they're not believing, as the scripture has said. John 7 and 38, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Folks, we want to be found believing on him as the scripture has said, because this is abiding in Christ. And the Lord is narrowing it down here for us. Matthew 22 and 14. For many are called, but few chosen. We see it once again as we read on in 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. In other words, it's not some modern day religion or doctrine or church government or whatever. It's only this word that came down out of heaven that gives life unto the world. John 6 and 33. If that which ye heard from the beginning abide in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. So if the word abides in you, then you have the truth living in you. And that's what it is to totally abide in the Son. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High is abiding in God. Any comments or questions? Yeah, Missy.
I forget exactly where it says it, but abiding in the Lord is also being obedient to him. That's more specific. It's obeying him, obeying his word. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Obedience is better than sacrifice, he said. All right.
Looking for John 14, 23.
Are you looking up John 14, 23, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. If any love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him, unto him, and make our abode with him. So that's the Father and Jesus together making his residence with you.
Amen.
Of your agape love. I'm not sure if that's the verse she was.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I found it. I thought it was in 1 John or one of the epistles of John. 1 John 3:24. And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us. Yeah, that was. That's what I was looking for.
More confirmation. Go ahead, Dave.
I would go with Isaiah 28:10 also. And I'll read it. For there is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So it builds. It's the sum of that word is true. It's little by little pulling it all together.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Oh, I forgot. I didn't mute myself. also, John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's kind of that's an awesome verse because, you know, it goes along with, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. All good verses. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah, Dave.
I got this morning. It's Psalms 119. It gave me 98, but I'll read from 97 for a few more verses on that. I love your law. It's my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for your commandments are always with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than age because I have kept your feet. I have kept my feet from every evil way that I might observe your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your promises to taste, more than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto you on my path.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Okay. 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in him sins not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knows him. The one in you that doesn't sin is your spiritual man. The one that is born from above The one of you that does sin is the carnal man, the one that is born from beneath. And that carnal man has no part in the kingdom of heaven. We have to lose our life in this world to gain our life. And he quotes a bunch of scriptures. That life we gain is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, growing in us 30, 60, and 100 fold, so that we might be that fruit that he comes and picks. He's not coming to pick the plant. He's coming to pick the fruit. He doesn't want the plant because the plant is your old corrupt life that has grown up out of the dirt of this earth. 1 John 4:16, and we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abides in God, and God abides in him. He that abideth in love abideth in God, because God is love. Amen. That's what he wants, isn't it? He wants the love of Jesus coming out of us. So we see that there are some conditions to abiding in the secret place of the Most High. And you may be worrying, David, that's making it kind of hard for us to be protected. No, it's really not hard. The people who think it's hard are the people who are not believing on him, as the scripture has said. When we believe only what the Word of God says and nothing else, no religious spirit, no false religion, no false doctrines, then we base our life on that. And when we're seeking to come into conformity to the Word, of course, we get the power of God that we need, because the gospel is, Romans 1:16 again, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You will bear fruit in every area of your life where you are believing those words from God. Praise God forevermore. Amen. Anybody got anything they want to comment on or question? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I thought maybe I should just ask for prayer here, because with this believing, you know, I'm struggling with the lately, the authority in Christ. You know, I listened to your message about 2 weeks ago, maybe, about the authority. Or you've had a series on it, so could you pray for me? I don't quite understand it myself, and so I need a, like you said, it, or like, I guess I remember you said there was a time for you have to receive a spiritual revelation of it. I mean, I have some idea, but I really don't. So I've let the enemy kind of, you know, beat me up lately, and, you know, I kind of feel like I have authority, but I really don't truly believe it, you know, so I just, I like prayer in that area.
You know? Okay. Yeah. All right, we can do that. Well, Lord, you hear Joe, you hear him wanting to know and to understand that authority. I ask, Lord, that you put it in his heart to listen over and over and over again those messages again and again, to see that he does have the authority that Christ has. He's got that same authority. As brand new Christians, we have the same authority that Jesus does. And sometimes it takes just meditating on those verses. Sometimes it takes, Lord, just meditating on you to be able to get those verses in our heart and to understand that we have the authority, and we can stand on that authority, and we can command the enemy to back off. We can command the enemy to do anything that we want to, because we are a child of God. And it's, the Lord has said, my body, even the feet are walking on the devil. Yep. And the feet is the lowest part of the Christian body. Even they can walk on the devil. And that's the authority you've given every one of us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he's putting on that spiritual armor every day. Joe's going to put that spiritual armor on. Everybody here is going to put that spiritual armor on and go out and fight the enemy every day. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for enlarging his sphere of authority. In Jesus' name. He asked it. I know you're going to give it to him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, anybody else? I believe you've done it, Joe. I know he has. Praise God. All right, Denny.
I was going to say to Joe, that's one of the revelations that I got when I first got saved is when I realized I was under God's authority at work. When you drive your car, if I go into a store, there's an authority. Everywhere you go, God has ordained authority. So if you have that heart attitude of I'm going to submit to authority, it sets you free. And you'll be under authority tomorrow from several different authorities, probably, you know, as you just live out your day. And so just be under God's authority, you know. That's hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. Just believing. Anybody else? Amen. You can waste your whole life in religion, folks. But as the Bible says, only the Word of God manifested in you is going to enter the kingdom. And David just got through talking about it. How do we do that? Let's see where he said it. You have to eat the Word. That's more or less what he said. You have to eat the Word in order to get these things down in your spirit. Amen. Where was John 3:13? Is that where I'm at?
John 3:13.
Okay. And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. In the parable of the sower, Jesus, as the sower, went forth and sowed the seed. And the seed was the word of God that went into hearts to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. I'm going to stop here just a minute. That scripture right there is John 3:13. And no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. Everybody understand what he's saying there? Okay. All right. Matthew 13:18. Hear then ye the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the evil one and snatches away that which hath been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that hears the word, and straightway with joy receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbles. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, all right, that's where we want to be. This is he that hears the word and understands it, who verily bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It's the word that brings forth the fruit. And the fruit is Christ himself. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what God is after. So somebody tell me, how do we bear fruit? I just read it. Okay, Missy.
Everybody's just chicken. They know the answer.
Oh, I don't think so.
When you put the word of God, which is the seed in your heart, that bears the fruit. It sprouts and grows and bears fruit.
Amen. That's the... Yeah, Dave.
Well, he's specific. He says, he who has sown upon good ground Your heart's got to be ready to receive it. You've got a heart for the Word of God. That's what your desire is, for one. This is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So you have to hear it and you have to understand it. If you're not doing either one of those, you're not going to get sown good ground either. You're not going to have anything sown in your heart. Who verily beareth fruit, bringeth forth hundredfold, 60, and 30. So there you have to do. You have to be engaged. You have to have good ground. You have to have a repentant heart to receive the word of God. And you're going to let it take root. You're not just going to let it go in one ear and out the other and say, oh, that was nice. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to have to chew it on it for a while and let it come into your heart. You know, you want it to stay there. You want it to grow. You're working on that. You're allowing it to take root. Is you're going to plant it, water it, and seed it, and make sure it's something for a while. And you're going to try to understand it. You're going to, if you still don't understand it right away, you're going to wrestle with God until you do. That's the difference. You may not get it right away, but you're going to say, you know, Lord, I want to understand this. And you're going to find out what it is you need to understand. And you're going to keep on diligently searching until you get your answer. That's a disciple. That's a learner and a follower. Because you... Granted, if everybody here understood everything they read once in the Bible, we wouldn't need to be Bible studies anymore. We would have it down. But guess what? We have to renew our hearts. We have to renew our minds. We're always going back and seeing and picking things up. We're always getting back into work, you know, renewing our spirit, getting back. Oh, yeah, reminding ourselves. That's the process. You're constantly engaged. So that's the person that's going to grow at 36, 100-fold. He's not going to let go. He's going to keep on going, searching and finding, renewing, making sure that if it didn't take seed the first time, he's going to keep on coming back till it does. You know, he realizes, oh, missing out, falling short, got to get this going. That's the person that's going to bear fruit.
Yep. I remember a good teacher on the Bible. What he said many times, he said, I've gone over scripture and meditated on it many, many, many times. Even if I understood it, to get it from here to here, you have to meditate on it and get it in your spirit and understand it. It's okay to understand it here. But you want to put it right here. And the way to do that is to keep meditating on it and to meditate on it and to make sure that you understand the scripture and all the implications it has for you. That's what he was talking about. Getting it in your spirit. Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
Okay. What I remember, and still this happens to me, but when I meditate on the word and I understand it, I notice that the Lord will give me an experience in that relating to that word, you know, like maybe a trial or a tribulation or something that relates to that word. And then it doesn't necessarily matter whether I pass the test or not. But it gives me a better understanding of that word to the point where it gets in my heart. I mean, really gets stamped there, like sealed up more, you know, because it's that truth has become a reality to me and not just a word, you know. And I find that gets in my heart quicker that way when he brings something across my path to portray what that word's saying. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Yeah, well, you know, I've always liked McDonald's when I just drive up there and order and then run up there and get my Big Mac and take off and I'm eating. And that's the way sometimes that we do when we're reading the Word of God. We go in there and we get it. Oh, okay, I believe that. And then go on to the next revelation. I've been guilty of that. rather than just sitting there and getting it in my heart. And I started to doing that a while back, and it really works. It really works to engrave it on your heart and what it means. Yeah, Missy.
The book of Ephesians is, mm-hmm. I'm learning to appreciate that more. I know you mentioned, Michael, that you really like that book.
Yep.
But the group that I used to be in that Merle's still involved with, Ephesians is used a lot. And they have a lot of high-minded terminology and false doctrines and stuff like that. And it was a book that I really struggled with to really read because of that, you know. But I started praying those prayers in Ephesians, and through praying them and reading them over and over, praying them every day for others, the Lord's really given me some revelation, an understanding, because before it was all, most of it was here, it was in my head. And when you really, because Ephesians is as you know, Paul has all these run-on sentences and just all, you know, it's very, it's one of his deeper books, I think, you know, and the terminology and everything. But anyway, when you really understand it, you know, not just here, but it starts getting in here, then you can enjoy it and rejoice in what you're reading rather than, oh my gosh, this is just so weighty. You know what I mean? But anyway, I just wanted to share that. I totally relate to what you're saying, Michael. And it's so true. Just going over it and reading it over and over and over, and you know, it's like when I've done that, and it's almost, I mean, I want to understand it, but it's just like all of a sudden, pop. The Lord gives me the revelation about this specific part, you know, and specific verse, you know, or a part of that verse, you know. And it's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for me, because this has been such a book that just makes my head go, you know. It's like, I feel like, you know, my head's going to explode, manner of speaking, but anyway.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Ephesians is a good book. It's a one to study and meditate on. Very much so. Those prayers in there will help you and help others if you pray them for others. And do it a lot. Do it a lot. Praise God. All right, anybody else before we go on? Those prayers in chapter 1 and chapter 3. If we abide in him, we have his provision, his protection. But that's not the case if you're walking in sin and rebellion against him. James chapter 4, verse 17. To him, therefore, that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. With knowledge comes responsibility. In the New Testament, sin is attributed to you when you know to do good, and yet you don't do it. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. When we know what God wants us to do, and we believe in his word, God will empower us to walk in that word. This is not us picking ourselves up by our bootstrap. This is God doing the work in us. We're trusting in him to be and to do what he said he'd do. It's not us coming into conformity by our own ability. It's him bringing us into his conformity by his ability. And our faith in him is what does that. So we just have to believe that God's doing that work in us. And our job is to keep our mind on him and to cast down those vain imagination thoughts, those vain thoughts that come into our mind, and walk that walk and help God in this salvation progress, this walk that he wants us to abide in him with love. That's where that love comes in. The more God you get in you, the more love you're going to be giving out. Go ahead, Andrew. Did you have something? Oh, I'm sorry. I saw you scratch your head. I thought that was one of them auctioneer signs, you know. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything they want to add on to the end of that? Okay. Walking in new light each day. Are you walking in that faith? Are you walking in light? 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't say stand in the light. It says walk in the light. Because when you walk in the light, you are continuing to walk in new light, more and more light, every moment. Now, you don't know the light that's at the other end of the road because you've never been there, but God's not holding you accountable for that light. And that's the great thing about the new covenant. James 4:17. To him, therefore, that knows to do good and does it not, to him, it's sin. Now, it's not as hard as you might think, because all that God wants you to do is walk in what you know. He wants you to continue to learn more and more so that you may bear more and more fruit. And of course, there are a lot of people who deceive themselves. They just put the Bible to the side. And since they aren't learning anything, they think they're not accountable for anything. Well, what happens then is that you don't bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, you don't enter the kingdom, because the fruit is the fruit of the seed of the Word of God. That's the seed that bears fruit in your heart according to the parable of the sower. So did y'all get that? Everybody knows that. You have to put the Word of God in your heart. You can't go on and do what you want to do all the time and expect that you're going to just somehow, you tickets punched and you're going to heaven because you slapped the preacher on the back. Nope. You're going to have to, we have a job to do as well. And that is to read and study the Word of God, put it in our heart, and believe what it says. As David's been telling us so eloquently in this book. Anybody got anything they'd like to add before we go on here? Psalms 91:1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's your protection, your blessing, your provision. Notice, this is somebody who is walking with the Lord and seeking to be pleasing unto him. They're holding fast to the faith of the gospel. Sure, they fail, but they confess their sins and they're forgiven, and they get back up and continue to exercise faith in those promises. The Bible says that the Lord considers them to be righteous because of their faith alone. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Faith is another thing that puts us in Christ. We are accounted as righteous through our faith because of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are to receive what God says is ours by faith. Maybe you haven't seen it manifested in your life yet, but you should receive it by faith because God says it's yours. And because you believe and are righteous, God will manifest your answer in the physical realm. And this is all part of walking in the light, which is abiding in the secret place of the Most High, who is God. And if you're doing your own thing and going your own way, you can't expect God to give you the provision or not to chasten you for your rebellion. If God would keep on blessing a person who continues in their rebellion, he would be like a bad parent who doesn't chasten their child. Of course, you're going to raise a spoiled brat that way. God don't do that. If you are truly a child of God, he's going to chasten you when you turn aside from his way. Isaiah 65:2, Jeremiah 6:16, Romans 3:12, etc., etc. All right. Any questions or any comments? Yeah, Missy.
I've been thinking about this off and on as we're reading this, almost a little distracted, because I have a question because I've been thinking about this off and on. Okay, we know the secret place of the Most High, the secret place is in God, okay, abiding in God. Why is it called the secret place?
Not very many people go there, do they? I don't know. Why? I'm sure you got the answer.
Well, not necessarily. Just some thoughts about it. Well, one thing that comes to my mind is where it says in the Sermon on the Mount, it says giving in secret, talks about giving in secret, and the Lord will reward you in secret. Going in your, God sees you pray in secret. What else? I'm just thinking, you know, it's in secret means that it's not something in the physical, something that can be observed. It's mm-hmm. it's like being hidden in Christ with God. You know, if set your mind on, if therefore if you it's in Colossians, I can't think how it goes right now, but it's like being, it's that secret place is the same, I think the same thing as what it says about for if you died in for oh gosh, I gotta look it up, I can't think how it goes, therefore if, okay. I gotta find it here. Questions. Therefore, if you died and your life is, where's that? Somebody help me out for crying out loud.
Colossians 3:2. Or?
Yeah. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Yeah. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. So that's like secret, you know, that's a secret place.
Okay. All right.
There's 2:6 of Ephesians too.
2:6 in Ephesians.
Go for it.
ye are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, it's not something seen in the physical. That's like a secret too, you know.
And there's the next verse after. That in the ages to come, he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. And of course, that's from the Father too. You know, it's from the Father and Jesus.
Okay.
He just told you, you're seated up there in his right hand. That's a nice place to be.
Amen. Let's see what Greg's got to say.
All right. You just stepped into my court there a little bit, Missy. Now, I had to do a bit of a devotional, I suppose, on Psalm 91 several months ago. And in the hours before I did it, Lord did this data dump on me. So, the secret place. When you look at the Psalm, because not everyone gets all the benefits of the Psalm, it's addressed to those who dwell in the secret place. This is what I got about the secret place, about marriage. Now, you know, Isaiah 54:5, the Lord thy maker is thy husband. And what is the other one in Hosea 2? But anyway, let's just put it this way, right? If someone comes to your place, right, they knock on the door. You can choose to ignore them and not answer it. Then they don't even know if you're home, or if they do know you're home, they're getting ignored. That's the level of intimacy they get. Someone else, you might open the door and talk to them through the screen. That's the level of intimacy they get. Someone else you might let into the entry and you can talk to them there, and that's the level of intimacy they get. Others you might bring into your table or your lunch room and have a cup of coffee and talk with them there. A little bit more intimate. Some you'll even bring into, what we call the family room in Australia, I'm not sure, but, you know, the place where the family gathers. And everyone bees themselves. A little bit more intimate. Some you'll have a meal with, a high level of intimacy. And some may even stay the night and they get a bedroom and stuff like that, and so there's a little bit more intimacy there. But there's only one. And, you know, that's the one God appoints that a man will marry and go into the master, you know, the main bedroom. And if someone was visiting the house, went wandering through there, you'd kick him out. But it's that secret place that belongs to just the husband and wife. That's that part that was shown to me. And then if you read the rest of the psalm from that perspective, this is what I'll do for my bride. You know, I'll have my servants bear them up lest they strike their foot against the stone, which is talking about a threshold stone, right? It's not just a stubbing out town rock. And he'll come to our rescue, you know, when the fowler tries to take us down, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, to me, it was all related to being that kind of intimate marriage relationship as a picture. I hope that makes some sense.
Oh, absolutely. That's a good analogy. I like that. That was real good. Yeah, Andrew.
I'm not sure, but didn't we do a? Actually, the chamberlain is someone who looks after your resting place, and I think a chamberlain in one of the teachings had to do something about the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure where it was though. It's somewhere on the site. I remember hearing a teaching like that. A chamberlain is someone who, like if you're a royal family, they look after the bed chamber of the princes and the king. It was compared to the Holy Spirit once. I wish I can remember where I heard that.
Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember something about that. I don't remember which one it is.
Yeah, I think that was the one regarding Esther.
Yeah, it could have been. Okay. I'm going to try to finish this particular section here if I can before we run out of time. Here's another text about the secret place of the Most High that uses a slightly different wording, Psalms 32 and 7. Thou art my hiding place, thou wilt preserve me from trouble. We hide in God. When we abide in Him, we are hidden from trouble, and you can count on that. I'd like to back up and look at more of the text because it's very important. Psalms 32 and 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Obviously, this is speaking about being covered by the blood. He's accounted righteous because he has confessed his sins and he's walking by faith. That's what the text talks about, confessing your sin. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Again, God doesn't count his sins against him because he's confessed them and he's walking by faith. And faith is accounted as righteousness. Don't never forget that. And in whose spirit there is no guile. You see, many people are just lying to themselves. They want to justify themselves. They don't want the word of God like a two-edged sword to put their old life to death. They don't want to let the waters of the word of God in their baptism put their old life to death. They are full of guile and deception. They've made up ear-tickling doctrines that permit them to believe they're okay as they are, instead of being honest enough to confess their sins so that God will forgive them and deliver them. Well, amen to that. We got a lot of that going on. All right, we're going to stop right there. Has anybody got any comments on that last paragraph? Or any questions? Okay. Let's see. Okay. Well, Father, I just praise you for this little book. It's been a blessing. Been a blessing to me. I'm sure it's been a blessing to everybody out there too, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that these words that we'll go back over and get them in our heart, get them in our spirit. Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that that's what you put these studies here for, is for us to go over them and make sure that we understand and get it in our heart, these scriptures, that's going to actually give us life. And that more abundantly. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all a good night's sleep tonight. Thank you for your protection of Psalms 91 in our life. And let us diligently study that and recite it every day for ourselves and our families and our friends and our brothers and sisters. And Father, we thank you for doing that and in all of us. We thank you for your Passover too, Lord. And we pray for all of your chosen out across the world, Lord, that you bring these studies to mind to them, that they don't have to worry about a thing, that they're righteous before you, and that they have the protection of Psalms 91 and the Passover. And Father, thank you again for being our God. Thank you again for showing the world what it is to be a true Christian with signs and wonders following in the days ahead, because I can see it just as plain as day. It's fixing to happen. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you for putting this word in our heart and our spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for getting all of us to that point to where we do get into that secret place of the Most High in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, okay, folks. Let's see if I can get everybody unmuted here. There we go. Good night, y'all.